says, I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings, and for all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. So tonight, before we get in our lesson, God just put it on my heart. First, take just a little bit, a couple minutes, 2 or 3 minutes here. Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for our nation. You know, there's never a time our nation doesn't need prayer. But if it ever was a time that it needed prayer, it's today, isn't it? So let's lift it up. You know, I say this all the time. You know, the easiest thing in the world to do is to criticize. Isn't that true? You don't even have to know anything about the situation. you don't have to have a clue. You can criticize, you know. But here's the thing. We're either part of the problem or part of the solution. So I purpose to be part of the solution, and that begins with prayer. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we do come boldly to the throne of grace as you have commanded us, O God, and invited us. We come by the blood and by the name of Jesus. Lord, here in your word, you said that we are to make prayers and intercession for all those in authority. And so, Father, we pray for our leaders, for President Obama, for his cabinet, his advisors, those in the Senate and the House, oh God. We pray for divine wisdom to be upon our national leaders, oh God, that their hearts would be open to the wisdom of God. Father, your word says that the heart of the king is like a river, and you turn it whithersoever you will. God, turn our leaders' hearts toward wisdom, toward truth, toward equity, toward justice. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord. They'll not do what's expedient, but they will do what is right, oh, God. Strengthen them, oh, God. Father, I know that there are pressures, people pulling on them from every way. But, Father, I pray by the strength of your Spirit, oh, God, they will stand for what is right. They will make right choices. God, move upon our nation. Father, pour out your Spirit upon our land. Oh God, heal us, oh God, and turn our hearts back to you again. Father, we make these prayers according to your word in Jesus' mighty name. All God's people said, amen. Thank you. Thank you, hon. Got my spectacles here. All right, we're talking about, been talking from Hebrews, so let's turn over there and read our scripture. Hebrews chapter 6, we're talking, been teaching on the fundamental principles of Jesus Christ. And we're learning some good things and reviewing some things that we may have already known. And then in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works or acts that lead to death, of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. So tonight, we're going to finish up. We started, last week, we started on the topic, the laying on of hands. This is a foundational truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is a powerful truth that is for all believers. And we need to understand what a powerful thing the scriptures talk about our hands being. This is why it's so important, you know, how we use our hands. Are you listening? Amen. You know, the Bible, he says, you know, the psalmist said, he said, lifting up holy hands with, you know, having clean hands, we come before God. Not putting my hand to any unclean thing, in anything. You know, in the Old Testament, they talked about blood guiltiness. Because what? From our hands is supposed to be the flow of the anointing and the life of the Spirit of God. There's supposed to be blessing. We looked at it last week. We started looking about how that the laying on of hands has to do with identification. And we looked at the Old Testament priesthood. Remember when you would bring your offering there for sin, you would lay your hands on that goat. And there would be an identification so that instead of you dying because of your sin, the goat would die for you. And of course, the high priest on the Day of Atonement, he had what he called they had what they called the scapegoat. That's where we get that term. And after they killed the goat and sprinkled the blood there, as God instructed, on the mercy seat and the implements, then they took that second goat, and the high priest would lay his hands on that goat and confess and transmit all the sins of Israel for a whole nation would go upon that goat, and then they'd lead the goat outside the camp to the wilderness, and there it would die. And of course, we know Jesus fulfilled both those. And Hebrews tells us that's the reason he was crucified outside the wall, outside the camp. So in the laying on of hands, we saw the identification. Then we saw how that the laying on of hands imparted blessing. We saw the patriarchs in the Old Testament, the patriarchs especially understood this, how that by the laying on of hands, they could impart and speak a blessing upon their children. And you know what? We can still do that. Instead of raising our hand to strike, we can raise our hand to bless, can't we? We can impart a blessing. Somebody says, well, that just sounds like the craziest thing in the world. That just doesn't make any sense. Well, it depends on whose sense you're talking about. It may not make common sense, but it's good Christian sense. You know, somebody's talking about some of these things. Somebody says, you're Christian Science? No, I'm Christian Sense. Amen. I want to have good Christian sense. You know? And we know this, that the unrenewed mind, remember we read this in 1 Corinthians 2, said that the natural mind, what, is in opposition to the things of the Spirit. Because what? It doesn't understand them until you got what? Get your mind renewed. You get your mind renewed. So we talked about that. Now tonight we're going to talk about the laying on of hands as far as the impartation of healing power. The impartation of healing power. Now Jesus laid hands on the sick, and he did it in obedience to a law of contact and transmission. This permitted the Spirit of God in him to flow out to the person who was sick. Contact, that's what it is. It's the law of contact and transmission. Let's look in Luke 40. We're going to look at some examples here. It's very important that we understand this. You know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, the God of this world and the concepts of the God of this world are, unfortunately, have given most people their underpinnings of understanding about spiritual things. Most people equate spiritual things with magic, you know, with the spiritual world presented as this realm where you never know, nothing, you know, there are no laws, nothing governs it, you don't know what's going to happen, anything could happen, you can't understand it, it's unfathomable. Come on, isn't that true? And the reason he wants to present it that way is he don't want you to understand that there are spiritual laws and principles that govern the spirit world that are just as orderly and just as sure as the laws that govern the natural world. And one of these laws is the laws of contact and transmission. And see, the natural mind doesn't understand that. But you know what? Think about electricity for a moment. In the natural realm, electricity will work that way, doesn't it? You contact it and see if it doesn't transmit. It will transmit to you on it, and you will feel it, its effect in your body. Isn't that true? Well, the same thing's true about God's spiritual power. Sometimes we call it spiritual power, anointing. Is God's power. And the Bible says, remember in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about good, doing good, healing. So how did he heal? He healed through what? The power, the spiritual anointing and power of God that was upon him through the law of contact and transmission. And we have to understand this is a law in the Spirit. It will work for anybody. It'll work for anybody. The only thing that God requires for this thing to flow is another spiritual law to be in effect, and that is what? Faith. Isn't that right? Faith. We know that electricity will flow under certain conditions, under other conditions. It won't flow, will it? Same thing's true about God's power. See, we thought, well, if God wants to do it, he'll just do it. Well, the Bible already says God's not willing that any should perish. Anybody know anybody that has perished? I hate to say it, but I do. Well, if it was just God's will, if it was just that side of the equation that is all we needed, then everybody would be saved. Because didn't Jesus die for everybody? Sure he did. But see, not everybody what is either heard or some people haven't what accepted. They haven't believed. And so until you believe, the free grace of God is not imparted to you, is it? Now, I know there's some, you know, that teach, you know, something, you know, kind of akin to ultimate reconciliation, that since Jesus died for everybody, everybody's going to be saved. Well, if that's the case, then God needs to close down hell, because there's no more reason for it, because I guess everybody that was going to go there is there now, and nobody else is going to go. That's a dangerous leap of exegesis, isn't it? And so we need to understand the same thing's true here. Luke 4:40. Most of these scriptures are going to be scriptures you're familiar with. Luke 4:40, it says, when the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Laying his hands on each one, he healed them. What was that? That was the law, what? Of contact and transmission. And, you know, and I know people say, well, that was Jesus. Well, you know, I understand the point that Jesus, of course, was the unique Son of God, without sin. He had the Spirit without measure, and I give you that. But he is not the only one we see doing this. Now, he is the prototype. We look at him and see how he ministered. But remember what Jesus said. He said, the works that I do shall you do also. Didn't he say that? So, you know, and I know he said greater works, but we'll just settle first for the works he did, and then we'll get on to, we don't want to strain ourselves too much heavy lifting here. Well, so we see Jesus doing this, and remember what Jesus said too. He said something else here, and I say this because it will help us. Because, you know, all of us, we can look and say, well, that was Jesus. I mean, you know, that's Jesus, and I'm not Jesus, so I can't do what he did. But here's the thing. Remember what Jesus said, something else he said. He said, the works I do, he said, it's not me that's doing them. Isn't that what he said? He said, I can do nothing of myself. Remember in Philippians 3, Paul gives us this insight. It says that when Jesus took upon himself flesh as the incarnate Son of God, it says that he laid aside his attributes, his omniscience, his omnipotence. He laid aside that and took upon himself what? He emptied himself. He was still God. He was still the Son of God, but he emptied himself of those attributes. You don't know how he did that anymore than I do. I ain't got a clue. How does God stay being God but set aside his oh man, that'll get your head in a whirl, won't it? Better to just accept that one by faith and try to figure it all out. So the reason I'm saying all this is to understand that Jesus did what he did, okay, the way he ministered, because he chose to. Now, understand me, doesn't make him any less God. He was just as much God. But he laid aside those attributes. So Jesus did not heal people as omnipotent God. He healed himself. He healed people by the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because here's the thing. In Acts 10, remember 38, it says how God anointed Jesus. Listen, if Jesus hadn't emptied himself, how can God anoint God? God don't need to be anointed. Last time I looked, he had all power. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us? He's got all power. See, we have to understand Jesus' humanity as much as we understand his divinity. And sometimes we have majored on his divinity, nothing wrong with that, but we've almost been ignorant of the understanding how God worked through his humanity. And that's the part we really need to understand too, because since we're not divine, God's going to work through our humanity. And so when we look at his humanity, that's why he says, the works that I do, you can do also. That's why he said, it's not me doing the works, it's the Father in me. That gives us understanding that, hey, just like the Holy Spirit flowed through Jesus and the laying on of hands and healing the sick, then he can flow through our humanity in like measure. Isn't that right? In a fashion like that. You know, otherwise, you know, we're going to end up feeling, you know, like a lot of people I've heard, hey, well, that was Jesus. Turn if you will, to Acts chapter 19. Let's look over there a minute. I mean, we could look at a lot of scriptures about how Jesus, and you're probably familiar with many of them, how he laid hands on that. So I'm not going to read a lot of scriptures about Jesus laying hands, because I think we understand that. Acts 19. We'll start in verse 11. God did extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that he had touched and were taken to the sick, their illnesses were cured and evil spirits left them. Now notice this. God, just a little side note here where it says God did extraordinary, or I think in the King James it says special, unusual, special. All right, so in other words, you ever been to a store that had a special? Had a special sale going on whatever. Okay, well, that let you know that if there was a special, then there was a regular price. Isn't that right? So God was doing special miracles by Paul. That means that there are regular miracles, and then there are special miracles. In other words, it's unusual. In other words, God, there are special anointings. Anointings that are unique, that have a specific purpose. And many times those special anointings are of a stronger anointing and a stronger nature. Are you listening? That's why you see some people minister healing and you see the results are different. Some people get more results, greater results, faster results. Now let me just help you out here. I know, you know, we're talking about laying on hands, but I want us to have some understanding. It doesn't hurt to have some understanding, does it? Healing, listen to this. In laying on of hands, healing is by degree based on two conditions. Listen to this. First, the degree of healing power administered. Now notice here, this is why I'm bringing up this point. Paul ministered by a special, extraordinary, or unusual anointing. Well, by implication, that means that there is an anointing that is what we, for lack of a better way to say, a regular, ordinary anointing. Like the believer would have, any believer would have, isn't that right? Okay, so healing is, first of all, is by degree, and it's based, first of all, on the healing power administered. You know, go back to electricity again. You ever got a hold of maybe a 12-volt charge or something like that? That's one thing. You get a hold of a 220 charge. You know, if you live, you're going to definitely be able to tell the difference. Isn't that right? And so we have to understand that. Now, remember this. It says of Jesus that he had the Spirit without measure. Now, I want to tell you something. You got to, if you've ever experienced the anointing or the power or the Spirit of God coming on you in a strong fashion, you know how hard that is to handle, just a little bit, if you've ever experienced that. Can you imagine the Spirit being on you without measure? Most of us wouldn't even be conscious. Isn't that right? Let alone minister to somebody. But so Jesus had it without measure. So obviously when he laid hands on people, the results we see him having were far different than what most anybody else would have. Why? Because he had the Spirit without measure. Remember, healing is by degrees based on two things. The degree of healing power administered. Well, he had the Spirit without measure. So obviously when he laid hands on people, there was a whole lot more power flowing through there. Isn't that right? That's why he had such phenomenal results. And the second thing, now, see, we're all happy about that one, but the second thing is the degree of faith that gives action to the power administered. Because this same Jesus, you remember, he went to his hometown, remember that? And he said there he could do no mighty works. Whoa, wait a minute. Jesus can't do our theology tells us God can do anything he wants to, whenever he wants to, under any conditions, it just doesn't matter. Well, then that verse got it wrong. The Holy Ghost got that verse wrong. It said he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now, I was meditating on it today. You know, one of the strongest forces, for lack of a better way to put it, in all creation is the will of man. You can hold back the purpose of God, the power of God. You can hold back all the promises of God from your life just by your will. That's heavy duty, isn't it? But it's the truth. Because can somebody be saved that's not willing to be saved? Can't do it, can you? I mean, God just loves them just as much, just as powerful, just as strong, just as much grace as there ever was, but they're not willing. So, you know, when you get to this thing of unbelief, what it you know, it keeps the flow of the Spirit from flowing out. Remember the lady with the issue of blood? Remember, if you read that story, it says Jesus was going along, and the scenario is he's in here in the middle of this big press of crowd, you know, thousands of people. And, you know, he's in thousands of people. And, you know, people are bumping up against him. People are touching him. People are trying to get his attention. I mean, it was a mob scene out there. And you know what? As far as we know, none of them got any healing power in their bodies. I'll bet you there were some sick people in there. They didn't get anything. But the what? The one woman with the issue of blood, she got through. And she touched Jesus, the hem of his garment. She touched his clothes, his robe there. And it says immediately she felt the power flow from Jesus into her and knew she was healed. And Jesus turned to her, and by Jesus' own words, he told her how she was able to access that power, whereas nobody else had. He said, "Woman, your has made you whole." So when we lay hands, see, some people say, "Well, why doesn't it work every time?" Well, why doesn't electricity flow under any condition? I mean, 5,000 years ago, there was electricity here. 5,000 years ago, wasn't there electricity here? Sure there was. There's just as much electricity here 5,000 years ago as there is now. The laws governing electricity were here 5,000 years ago. The ability to do it was here 5,000 years ago. But the difference was what? Nobody knew. Nobody had the knowledge, did they? I mean, why didn't they just come in and light up the cave? Hey, look at that. I discovered electricity. And sometimes that's been our approach about spiritual things. And it goes back to what I said. The enemy, the God of this world, has painted that idea of the Spirit. You don't want to get in there. Oh, you know, as soon as you try to enter in, somebody says, "You better watch out." That's what me and my brother were talking. You better watch out. That Holy Ghost stuff. You better watch out. That healing stuff. You better watch out. That tongue stuff. You better watch out. Why? I want it. I'm not watching. But see, it's because we've been painted that picture that it's some kind of, you know, Harry Potter, you know, whatever, you know what I mean, type thing. Just, you know, who knows what's going to happen out there. And you better look out, because if you get in the spirit, Royal, you know you're going to get something bad. And all the time, we were made for that. So, you know, if I was the enemy and I knew how God had stacked the cards in the favor of his children versus me, I'd do everything I could to keep them out of it. I'd lie to them, deceive to them, try to keep them out. Make sure they hear every bad story about every bad experience anybody ever had. Anything I could to convince you, you don't want to go there. And so the church becomes powerless, you know. Now, anyway, let me get back here. Getting on my hobby horse, aren't I? I'll tell you what. We're not going to win the world by the cleverness of man. God's not going. We can't do it anyway, and God's not going to permit it. Because the Bible says, God says, he says, "I'm going to build the house. And it's going to be built his way." Amen? All right. So it says here, even Paul experienced this. And you know, here's the thing. You can see the reason we talk about the law of contact and transmission, that here, aprons or handkerchiefs, Paul, obviously, he laid his hands on them, and from his hands, that power flowed into that cloth. Now, just like electricity, not every material will transmit electricity, will it? And the same thing about this spiritual anointing, the spiritual power. It's, you know, not every, it didn't say he laid hands on a pair of shoes. Says he laid his hands on what? Cloth. There seems to be something about that the cloth will contain or will hold that anointing power. Remember the woman? She with the issue of blood, she touched. She never said she touched Jesus. She just touched what? The hem of his. It conducted. That anointing was all over Jesus. As soon as she and evidently it saturated his clothes. Because when she touched him, that power flowed right out of his robe. I know, man, we'd like, oh, now, Pastor, we're educated people. Well, believe what? what you want to. That's your choice. But I'm telling you, that's what the scriptures are teaching us, isn't it? And here Paul laid those claws on it. You know, and it says they took them to sick people. You know somebody's sick. Man, lay your hands on a handkerchief or something. Take it to them and just pin that thing to them. I mean, I've heard testimony after testimony of people that will do that. Or take that handkerchief, maybe somebody's bedfast or in the bed or something, and take that handkerchief and just stick it in the pillowcase there. And they're laying their head on that thing every day and night. Come on. It even says here, people got set free from demonic oppression. How have we limited what God has entrusted to us through our lack of knowledge or our wrong thinking? And again, we say, well, I can't do it. Well, we already know that. But here's the thing. You can't do God's part, but God won't do your part. The Holy Spirit is not going to lay hands on anybody. You must. He will flow. He will anoint, but you must lay your hands. That's the way God has set it up. Paul put it this way. We are co-laborers together with Christ. I can't save anybody, but God will not save people unless what somebody preaches shares the gospel. Isn't that right? Because the Bible says, how can they hear? How can they be saved unless they hear? How can they hear unless there is a preacher? So here's the thing I would encourage you. As a believer, you can lay hands on a cloth or something. Maybe there's somebody you're believing for their salvation. Well, listen, lay hands on something that will that power can go into and give it to them as a present. I got a nice set of sheets here for you. Come on. I know. Oh, Pastor, this is far-fetched. Well, what does your Bible say? You say, yeah, but Paul was an apostle. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. That's very good of you to notice that. Turn over to Mark 16. I knew you were smart. I knew it. And you are. Mark 16. All of us, we can look at ourselves, and it's real easy to look at ourselves outside of Christ. And when you look at yourself outside of Christ, I'm sure you're going to look just like I do. Not too good. And that's just being nice to ourselves, isn't it? But here's the thing. We must see ourselves in Christ Jesus. What did 1 John 4:4 tell us? That greater is he that is in you. Where is he? Where is God living? In the earth, where is God? He's in you. In you. You want to know God's address? It's you. Wherever you are, that's God's address. That's where he's living. We need to meditate on that sometimes. Sometimes you just stand in front of the mirror and say, God's living in you. And you're going, first few times you do it, you're going to feel really weird. God's living in you. Putting your makeup on, God's living in you. Guys, you're there shaving or whatever, God's living. We need to remind ourselves, because the enemy's telling us stuff, isn't he? He's bombarding your thought life every day, and you think it's you. Oh, that's the enemy. He's telling you, you can't do that. What the pastor was talking about, you can't lay hands on nobody. There ain't nothing going to happen. Remember so-and-so? Isn't that right? That's what he'll tell you. Remember so-and-so? I know somebody did that and died. Well, I'd rather do that and die than be in unbelief and die. Hadn't you? I heard a guy say, about laying hands on people. He said, well, what if you lay hands on them and they die? He said, I'd just say next. Because God, listen. What? God said lay hands on them. He didn't say heal them. He told me to, you got mixed up there again. You thought you was going to have to heal them. I can understand your consternation if you thought that. You'd strip a gear. But no, he said lay hands on them in faith. And then there would be what? The Holy Spirit would what? There would be a transmission by the power of the Holy Spirit. And his power would come into them and affect a healing and a cure. Isn't that right? Hey, have you ever shared the gospel, the new birth, about the new birth, forgiveness of sins, God's God, with people and they didn't receive it? Anybody ever had that experience? Did that make you stop? Well, I guess God don't want to save no more. But yet, when it comes to healing, we do that. Oh, well, you know, I know somebody prayed for somebody and, you know, and they didn't get healed. And then so we just throw the whole thing up. Well, why don't we do that with, why do we do it with that one thing and not with every other area? It's a good question. It's one we need to ask ourselves. Because, see, the enemy will do his best to trip you up. Especially when it comes to this. Because he knows, man, if you go out there and you start laying hands on the sick, and God starts healing them, listen, that's going to create a stir. Isn't that right? And when, as soon as it creates a stir, it's also going to open the door for you to be able to share, hey, guess what else Jesus does? He saves and forgives sins. You think this is something, well, you see this. Isn't that right? Sure it is. Sure it is. Mark 16, you already know where I'm going with this. Jesus, verse 15, he said, go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Got any believers in here? In my name, the name of Jesus, they will drive out demons. Hallelujah. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. When they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Somebody says, well, how are we going to see? Well, the only way I know how to you see this is start placing hands on sick people. You want to see people, see if this works? Then start going doing it. But do it in faith.
Yeah.
Do it in faith. Yeah. I don't know if I have enough faith. Well, then keep meditating on these scriptures until what? Until your faith grows in this area. You know how that is. You can have faith strong in one area and your faith not be as strong in another area. We're all in those places. Some of you got your faith developed in areas where I need to develop mine. I've got mine developed maybe in some areas where you need to develop yours. That's where the contradiction comes in, doesn't it? Sometimes we don't understand how is it that I got faith for this or that or the other and it's so strong when it comes to this? Well, we haven't developed that. Isn't that right? You know, you get out and do some physical activity that's a little different from your regular routine, and all of a sudden you find out you got muscles you forgot you had. Oh man, I forgot I had that muscle down there. Where'd that thing come from? Isn't that true? Why? Because our regular routine didn't cause us to put as much exertion on that muscle. But all of a sudden, we start doing something a little different, a different activity, whether it's a different type of work or athletic thing or something we do that's a little bit different, more rigorous. All of a sudden, we find out, oh, man, now, you know, if I'm doing, you know, something with these muscles, I'm okay, but man. And so it can be the same way when it comes to one of these truths. You know, when it comes to the new birth, when it comes to forgiveness of sins, when it comes to God meeting my needs or taking care of me or delivering me and that kind of thing, we can be strong. But when it comes over here to this, my laying hands. Now, see, I can be strong in faith that if Rick lays his hands, God will, you know, heal. You ever notice how it's easier to believe that, you know, for somebody else, you know, that God would use somebody else or do something for somebody else than it is for you? Isn't that true? Because, you know, we're aware of who we are. But we got to get past that. Jesus said, lay hands on them. He said, and they will get well. They will be healed. Amen?
Amen?
All right, one more scripture, and then we'll move along off of this particular topic. I mean, this is one that's near and dear to my heart. Acts 5:12, it says, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's porch. And he goes on down, it talks about, it says in verse 15, as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats. Peter's shadow, now get this, Peter's shadow fell on them as they passed by and they were healed. Now you don't tell me how a shadow transmits something. Isn't that amazing? A shadow. the reason I wanted to read that is, listen, if we can believe that the shadow of a man could heal somebody, we should be able to believe if I lay hands as a believer that God will heal people. Isn't that right? I mean, man, if God can do that with a shadow, what can he do if we lay hands? And he said, that's all God's asking you to do is in simple faith and obedience, lay your hands on sick. I think I told you the story, you know, about the elderly lady, you know, that she wasn't that educated. Didn't I tell you that story? And she read over there, you know, she wanted God to use her. And she read this very verse right here, so she just went out and did it, you know. She didn't have somebody to tell her, that passed away and you couldn't do that. So she just went out and did it. And she started having phenomenal results. She wasn't called as a preacher. She wasn't educated or anything like that. She just read and said, well, hey, I got hands. I'm a believer. I got hands. I see all y'all. Y'all are believers and you got hands. Go for it. You say, well, again, what if I do it and they don't? Just do it again. Remember what your mama taught you? Practice makes. Okay. Healing of laying on of hands for impartation of spiritual gifts. Turn to Acts 13. We're going to look there a minute, and then we're going to Acts 13. Hold your place there, and then we're going to find one more scripture. 1 Timothy. Turn over to 1 Timothy. I want to read these two together because I want you to see the connection here. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'll give you the verse in a minute when we get ready to read it. 1 Timothy 4 and then Acts 13. I'll give you just a second here to find those two places. Now, in Acts 13, verse 1, it says, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And then verse 4, it says, and they being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Now, turn over to 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 14. Paul is speaking to Timothy. He said, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. So here we see the laying on of hands. There is an impartation of spiritual gifts. And you know, Paul went on to tell Timothy, he said, stir up the gift within you. Now, this word gift is the word charisma. Same word that's used in 1 Corinthians 14 where it talks about what we call the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Spirit, the charismata. It is the gift of grace. And when they laid their hands on them, there was what? An impartation of a spiritual gift. That spiritual gift was the enabling power of God that enabled them to function in their calling. See, we have to understand this. When God calls somebody, there's going to be supernatural equipping. This is why you can't just decide. You can't just take a title. There's got to be an anointing and a spiritual gift there. And if there is one there, it will be evident. Amen? It will be evident. When you get around people that have a spiritual gift and a calling and they are supernaturally equipped, if you're around them very long, if they have developed it, you're going to be able to see that real quickly. And of course, the converse is true too, isn't it? You get around somebody who is not gifted and yet they're in endeavoring to fulfill a role or a function that they're not equipped to do it, you can tell that too, can't you? You can tell when somebody is anointed to teach or preach and when somebody speaking that's not, can't you? You know, like the old country preacher, you know, he was always talking about that ointment. Somebody said, well, what in the world are you always talking about that ointment? What is that ointment you talking about? He said, I don't know what it is. He said, but I know when it ain't. That's pretty good theology. He was talking about the anointing. But the gifting there. So there's an impartation. This is what I want you to see. In every aspect of laying on of hands, there should be, and there will be, if it's done in faith, an impartation or a transmission. It's a powerful thing to lay hands on people, and it's a powerful thing to have hands laid on you. And this is why you need to be careful about who you allow to lay hands on you in this manner. Because, you know, it's not just good things that can be transmitted. Bad things can too. Hello. I mean, I don't want to be negative, but I do want to warn you. You know, just like, you know, that's why in one of the scriptures he said, don't lay hands on nobody suddenly. And the converse, is that true? Don't let anybody lay hands on you suddenly. That's why, you know, people go, you know, they go to meetings and things here, and they jump around and go from this place to that place, the other place, and they get in every kind of line and everything in the world. You know, I mean, you don't have a clue who those people are laying hands on you. Come on. Well, I think they're living right. I think everything's okay. Well, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, put a fear in anybody, but I mean, this, if we, you know, we, you know, it's kind of like what Jesus said, you know, the Bible talks about our confession. If you're going to believe, if we believe that it's going to work for us on the positive side, when we speak in line with God's word, we got to believe it's going to work the other way too. There's not a switch up there that says it only works if you say the right thing. Isn't that true? Death and life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And this thing is true. That's why we need to be careful about it. That's why he said, know those who labor among you. I don't just let somebody I don't know just lay hands on me. Yeah, but they've got a mighty anointing. Yeah, but how are they living? Huh? We've seen lots of people. Listen, just because somebody's having success, that don't necessarily mean their life's right. Some pastoring here, help you out. We need to know people, so we need to be cautious about that. If we're gonna, you know, if I'm just gonna jump somewhere, and I want to know who's gonna lay hands on me. You know, Dad Hagin used to say this. He said sometimes you get hands laid on you, you know, under certain circumstances and certain people in certain meetings. He said you can end up worse off than you was before you came. And I concur with it. So we need to watch. It's a real thing. It's not. I say this not to put fear in us, but we can't take it lightly. The scriptures are either true or they're not. And so if they lay hands on you and something's going to be imparted to you, I want it to be something of God, don't you? Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't want a bunch of other stuff on that. Isn't that right? So here he said, Timothy. How did he receive his gift? How did he receive his office? It says what? They laid hands. Paul, the apostles, the apostolic company of Paul, they laid hands on Timothy. And there was an impartation into Timothy's life of gifting and anointing and divine ability. Now notice here in 2 Timothy, turn over there, 1:6, we know the scripture, but let's read it in context here. He said, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame or stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Through the laying on of my hands. And so there are people, especially in the areas of apostolic calling, that this is part of their office, that they are able to lay hands on and impart spiritual gifts. And that's a good thing. That's a beautiful thing. But we want to make sure that we know who those are that are laying hands on us. Amen? I want to know them. I want to know their life. I want to know. That's why we need to be cautious and not just jump at everything. I thank God, you know, after almost 35 years, I've lived long enough in this Christian walk to see a few things come and go, to see the fads come and go, you know. And you know, I believe for new things and discovering new things, and I believe that God wants to renew some things we've lost and do some new things among us, and I'm all for that. But I tell you what, we need to not be so quick to just jump on the bandwagon of something just because we hear about it. Sometimes Christians, even spirit-filled Christians, we can be so gullible. Oh, something's happening over here. There's a whole lot of excitement. Something's happening over there, so we jump over there. Then we hear something, there's a whole lot of, we jump over there. We're jumping. You know? But here's the thing. Where are we going to put some roots down? Where are we going to get some foundation in us? Where are we going to begin to be at a place where God can begin to use me and I'm not just jumping around looking for the next spiritual high? I'm going to meddling. I know it. Come on. Get in your prayer closet. God will give you all the high you want. Isn't that right? You don't have to run. You remember what Jesus said? He said, when people say, oh, he's over there, or I'm over here, or I'm over there, he said, don't believe it. All right. So the impartation of gifts. Let's look at one more scripture, and then we'll move along. 1 Timothy, you're right there at it. 1 Timothy again. 5, I alluded to this scripture, but I want to read it. 5:22, 1 Timothy. Do not be hasty, or King James says, do not lay hands suddenly. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands. Do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Well, at first glance, that seems odd. How can the laying on of hands, how can that get me involved in sin or anything? And what's that got to do with purity? Well, if we understand now that through the laying on of hands, things can be transmitted or imparted, we understand that, don't we? Because if there's something on their life that's not right, and they lay hands on you, and listen, when you open yourself up, you say, yes, I lay your hands on me, I'm open, I'm receptive, you're going to get something. And he said, this is why, he said, don't be hasty about it. Again, I'm not trying to make you fearful, but we need to understand these things. You know, we need to realize this is real. You know, it's there's no safety valve on it where, you know, okay, if you lay hands on you, you're only going to get, you know, the good. You know, as the movie said, you may get the good, the bad, and the ugly. Hopefully not. Isn't that right? All right, turn over to Deuteronomy. I want you to look at one more scripture. We're talking about laying on the hands and impartation. This really will be, well, not the last one. Move along a little bit different. Deuteronomy 34:9 said, now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. Where did Joshua get his anointing? Where did Joshua get that spirit of wisdom? Where did he get it? It's through an impartation, a divine impartation, when Moses laid his hands on Joshua. And that same anointing and gifting that was on Moses came upon Joshua too. So that Joshua could, in a similar fashion, enter into and do the same type of ministry as Moses. Now understand this. The reason that worked was because God had called Joshua. If you don't have that calling, then people can lay their hands on you and say, now you're an apostle, but as Brother Hagin used to say, that's empty hands on empty heads. You have to have the call. If you have the call, then the impartation can flow. But if you're not called to that, somebody can't just lay their hands on you and all of a sudden say, okay, now I've laid my hands on you, you're called to be an apostle. If you don't have that, no one on the inside of you, God hadn't dealt with you on that on the inside, then I'm telling you what, don't you run off and start trying to act like you're an apostle or this or that or the other, because you're going to fall flat on your face. And then you're going to get up and say, none of this stuff works. All that stuff Pastor Norris talking about, it don't work. But see, if you have a call to ministry, this is why I used to tell Bible school students many times, I said, when you recognize what you're called, you discover your call, you know what you're called to do. I said, you know, if you can't get around people with a similar call, you may not always be able to get around with them personally, but you can, you know, today you can read their books, you know, get their messages. You know, that same anointing will what? Will transfer to you. There's an impartation that takes place there. Okay. laying on of hands. It is a powerful, powerful truth. I want to read you some things here concerning impartation and the power of the Spirit. We've got a couple of minutes left, especially when it comes to healing. Listen to this. The object of the healing power of God is to bring abiding health to the body, the soul, and the spirit. Now, at the new birth, God's Spirit comes into our spirit, doesn't it? And we have what the Scriptures call a recreated human spirit. It's made brand new. And it has the life and the nature of God in it. We call it born again. And it's not just a born again idea or philosophy. It is a reality. Okay? That was what the Spirit of God came into us and imparted the very... Really, what it is God's imparting Himself. He comes into your spirit and boom, all that life just recreates. But now God's saying He wants that life to expand from our spirit into what? Our soul, our emotions, our minds, our will, our thinking. And then not only stop there, but then He says He wants it to go what? Into what? Our body. Remember Paul over there in Thessalonians, he said, I pray God sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. That's God's ultimate design, even in this life, is that there be, through the impartation of His Spirit, a life, the life, the very nature, the very presence of God comes in, not just into your spirit, but into your soul and into your body. Remember, he said over there in Corinthians, he said, you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. The body is the temple. Isn't that right? So in all of this, so as we understand the transmission of God Himself, and this is really what it was all about, through Christ Jesus, God has chosen now to impart Himself into the very lives of people who will believe. And when that impartation of Himself comes in, there is that divine explosion that takes place, and there is life that comes out. Tell them I can't make it. That's okay. It's happened to me before. So we need to understand that. And primarily the way that's going to happen is what we lay hands on. How many of you believe this as a believer? You know that the Spirit, and you believe the Spirit of God's in you. Okay? Amen? And so when you lay your hands on people, all you got to do is understand this, that the Spirit of God that's in you, the Spirit of life, is going to flow out through that. Amen? Amen. Your hands are for releasing the power, and many times the head, we lay hands on the head, because that is a receptacle, that is a gateway in. The hands are a gateway out. The head is a gateway in. You say, oh, this sounds so metaphysical. Well, I'm sorry it sounds that way to you. It's biblical. Amen? You lay hands. And what are you doing? You're submitting yourself. You're submitting the gateway into your soul and your spirit. You're saying, here I am. Okay? And when you lay hands on it, what you're doing is you're submitting a gateway for that spirit to flow out. We do that in faith, we're going to start seeing God working healings. And, you know, we may hear of you. And God worked special miracles. Who, Rick? Listen, God doesn't, you know, God's not looking around and saying, oh, I got to find that special person that I can use. No. He will use whoever is willing and available. Isn't that right? You're just as good a candidate as anybody. If you're willing, you're obedient, you're just as good a candidate as anybody. Because we're all flawed. If God's not looking for perfect vessels, if He's doing that, He'd give up. He already had the one. He got one. That was it. That was Jesus. That was it. That was all there was. So He's not looking for us to be perfect. He's looking for us to be willing. So I want to encourage you, and this is the foundational truth, that you are a believer, you're indwelt by the Spirit, You've got hands. Start laying hands and believing that God will impart His Spirit to bring healing, to bring blessing. Amen? Man, get you got some people, you know, that they're not, you know, that don't understand spiritual things. Get you some claws and lay your hands on them things. You know? Put them in the bedclothes with them, attach them to the PJ, put them in there on the pillow. Man, I've heard so many amazing stories about how, you know, the power of God can work in people. I'll close out one story. There was a family they had, this was some years ago, but the woman was sick, bedfast, in the bed, couldn't get up. No way, couldn't get up on her. And so they're at a meeting, and somebody was ministering and talking about this, and then they laid hands on some prayer, what we call prayer cloth sometimes, you know, just handkerchiefs or cloths, whatever you had, if it's cloth. And they said, you just go and take this back now and just put this under the pillowcase, you know, where that sick person was. It was a female lady. She couldn't get up. She was bedfast and really giving up to die. And so they, you know, they did that, and then they went in the other part of the house, and they got busy doing something on, didn't think nothing else about it, and all of a sudden they heard a shout, and they heard a thump. And man, that woman had been completely healed and had jumped up out of that bed. You know? And if I remember right, I believe, you know, that they had washed that cloth a couple of times. So it don't wash out, evidently. You know, we say this. We think, you know, if you're not used to this, you think this sounds so strange. What? You know, God's ways are not our ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are His ways above what? Our ways. Isn't that right? Wow. Wow. Go for it. Amen. It's your right as a believer. Everybody, do this. Just hold your hands up just this much. I see them. You got them. You got them. Okay, you can put them down. You got hands. Amen. You know, go out and practice it. Practice it. Isn't that right? Practice it. Yeah, practice it. Practice it. It'll work. Because God said it would. Amen. All right. If you would like to give tonight, Brother Scotty's there. He's got some envelopes. If you would like an envelope, we'll give you a chance to give, and then we're going to let you go. And go out and lay hands and impart blessing, you know, and healing, you know. You know, you can be like this woman while you're preparing your altar. You know, you can be like this woman. You know, she just went out, and she just went to find sick folk. And a lot of people she got, they were giving up on, so what did they have to lose? Is it going to hurt for this lady to lay hands on me and pray? Isn't that right? He said, man, I want to start on something easy first. Well, I can understand. If you're doing it, then you better just quit. You couldn't even heal a fly or a headache. But here's the thing. If God's doing it, it really don't matter, because there are no hard cases for God. He never seen a hard case. Amen. God never said, boy, this is beyond me. Call in the specialist. No. So, you know, those people, you know, and sometimes, you know, it's the desperate people that will get their faith in motion. Sometimes if we got, you know, plan B through M to fall back on, we're not in a position yet to really release our faith to God. It's unfortunate, but it's true, isn't it? So just begin to lay hands on people. Okay? Everybody ready? I'm not trying to rush you, but I want to let you go. I know you need to get home. Hallelujah. We'll pray over that giving. Father, thank you for those who are giving, Lord. We thank you as they give. It is seed sown. Father, you're going to multiply their seed back as you have promised. Lord, you're going to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. We thank you for your abundant provision. Receive our gifts now. We worship you and honor you with them in Jesus' name. Amen. Mr. Scotty. Well, anybody catch the radio broadcast yesterday by any chance? Yeah, you're it. I was ministering to somebody, so I didn't get a chance, but Cindy heard it. But 11:30 at Tuesdays on WLVJ 1040 AM. Be sure. Next Tuesday is going to be on Redemptive Power Forgiveness. So if you get a chance, if you're riding around or something and you got time, put it on the background there. 10:40 a.m. Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. Or maybe you know somebody that they need to hear some teaching or some ministry in that area. Encourage them to listen. Father, thank you for all of your goodness in our life. Father, thank you that as believers we are indwelt by your Spirit, by your very being. Lord, you said we are to lay hands on the sick. Lord, it wasn't suggestion, it was a command.